So I would have to say maybe I'm not comfortable with it.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm not. It doesn't matter either. You know, because really nothing does.
Well, mattering, that's, you know, mattering is a value judgment, right? Mm-hmm. The relevant, well, even relevance is hard to insist upon, right? We'll pause that and we'll just say for business. If we're not habitually assigning meaning and context to the actuality of present experience, then you tell me what's going on.
I don't know what's going on, but I mean, there's stuff in the field of vision.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you could say there appears to be sound, light, right?
Yeah.
You can name what is appearing in the called sense field. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can, yeah, sure. I mean, you can also come up with feelings if you want, explanations about yourself and everything else. Yeah. But in, might I suggest, inwardly, no confidence is placed in it any longer.
That is, yes. That's so, sort of like,
okay, the, well,
I don't want to say what the main attribute was.
It'd be hard to say what the main attribute was.
Yeah. What are you doing? How did you just feel?
We're not all that used to, you know, living in or living as quiescence. We're so habituated to the nagging vibratory confidence or insistence of content and context creation. Silent.
It's like disconcerting a little. It's different.
Okay.
It's just, you know, nothing is, there's nothing that I could point to that's actually different, right?
Yes.
But there's, that's the same either, I don't know.
Yes. Nothing different, nothing the same. We don't see the degree to which we inhabit or conjure the world. Mm-hmm. Because it's like an ongoing hypnotic stream.
I know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if by virtue of accident or contemplative effort or conversations like the ones that we like to have, there is an organic decoupling, then the quiescence makes itself known.
Mm. Yeah, that seems to apply.
So, s- some quality of disconcertion?
I'm not really sure. I just know that it's... I guess you could say feels very different.
It does feel different.
So I'm...
There's more... can we say textural availability with the actual or felt rhythms of consciousness or experiencing noise?
Yeah.
And so it might invite us to learn how to become accustomed to and nourished by the absence of noise. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we tend to be in a fit of demand.
Yes.
Or a fit of and entertainment.
It seems like that is actually what, let's say, Facebook is all about.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like just screaming meme saying, look at this, do this, whatever, think this. I don't know. They're just trying to make an uproar. And it's like fishing. They're fishing for
Well, sure. You know, Facebook, the news media.
Well, that's what I mean, the news, because I'm not talking about people on Facebook.
Yeah. Everything in human culture magnified, right, by human technology. Not that we can even credit humans for culture or technology, but
yeah,
a lot of shit's going on,
yeah,
you know. And so that the insatiability mm-hmm. of panic mind, mm-hmm. mind in demand.
Right. Yeah. And my mind can, yeah, certainly try to pull me in, or not try, but, you know.
Yes,
it gets noisy.
Sure. There's a lot coming at us, even when nothing's coming
right.
at us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the capacity to conjure or insist upon a condition, being in a condition of a condition, the victim of or enjoyer of circumstances, it comes on so fast.
Mm-hmm. And it can be tenacious. But even at the same time, it is irrelevant. I mean, it's always irrelevant. But there's something about... there's like a seeking. There's a seeking maybe of relevance.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
So then you get into that mind clusterfuck.
Yeah.
Because
that's
you're
right.
seeking relevance. Something is seeking relevance.
Yes. Right. And relevance, you know, could be replaced by a handful of other words. Not that it's incorrect, but there's a bunch of other synonyms that can accompany the use of relevance. Identity, continuity, security, interest, entertainment, drama, attention-seeking, validity, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
That's probably why it's so... different.
Absolutely.
Because there was rushing thoughts, and then bam, now and then there's not.
Yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, where'd they go?
Yes. It's very, I mean, it's kind of curious, you know, that this so-called decoupling, mm-hmm. Or the arising of quiescence, mm-hmm. noticeable, palpable, engaging quiescence, mm-hmm. Can visit little packets that don't last very long all throughout one's mm-hmm. days. And who knows when it will, let's say, come on a little stronger mm-hmm. and last a little longer, a little stronger, mm-hmm. last a little longer. And nobody really knows, you know, what consciousness or brain chemistry or endocrine system or anything has to do with anything. You know, no one's mapping it. I mean, the best of neuroscientists don't even have a vocabulary for the dawning of realization. They don't even have a poetic vocabulary, most of them, let alone being able to map brain chemistry, pH. I mean, they've done studies on, you know, monks and shit, right? And they like do brain mapping while these very skillful meditators remain in some kind of, you know, samadhi of some kind for a long time. And so they can say, oh, look what's happening. This part of the brain is da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But that doesn't begin to answer the curious shift from noise to...
Right.
Where'd all the noise go?
Right. Mm-hmm. Because you wouldn't even care about that.
Well, good luck dumb idiot for which noise has gone down. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And there is a. I mean, you know, you hear it so much in the so-called non-dual or yogic literature, right? Of, I never really liked it, you know, kind of event-driven realization, like a big kapow or
right.
bam,
yeah.
And then, you know, an integration period, week or 20 years. Mm-hmm. It becomes too pop culture-ish.
Right. Well, it's a story.
Yeah, it's
so
a story.
They make a story.
Yeah, and without having to overemphasize it, yeah, something's gonna so-called change in the rhythm of one's living if the of noise mm-hmm. changes. Mm-hmm. And subtler, the identification with the seductive power of imagination.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, I mean, now I'm making a story, but yeah, so it would be a story. But I seem to have gone from the racing constant
NASCAR mind.
Yeah. Like that was not, it almost seems as though that precluded this.
Uh-huh.
Because, it like turned itself up. Like it,
yes.
That craziness turned up and up and up and up and then.
Yeah, sure.
Seems like that.
Even that metaphor is commonly found in the organic, right? Whatever the process is, even if it's a process, of the, let's say, the manner in which this potency fools itself into, right, personality, and the manner in which this releases itself from the implication of individuation. They're both, it's the same magic.
Well, I can understand what you're saying from the point of view of what I'm seeing or hearing, but I can't understand from the point of view of when the thoughts are present.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm not feeling like I'm thinking right now.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I could probably do that.
Well, it's maybe one discovers a pause, or call it a spaciousness, or a poise, mm-hmm. a poised pause, mm-hmm. where the insistence of, you know, implication made of imagination is sufficiently relaxed that there's just the harmonic of available, the harmonic of open. And yeah. Even open is a little strange because it's very easy to objectify, fetishize, and personify what is implied by open. My heart's open, my mind, no, shut up, right? It can't be any of that because the open, it has no object on let's call it the receiving side. It's not I'm open to, it's just what?
Well, I think I see that.
Now if, let's just say, thought or association comes in like a lamb goes out like a lion and like a lion goes out like, right, whatever. The degree to which we are enthralled by it or take it seriously or to be binding is up to it, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
It seemed, you know,
before
the dawn of a certain palpable quiescence taking root in one's soul, before that, this is just running its show, and it doesn't feel like we have, and we don't even notice that we don't really have any, you could say, knobs or dials to change the volume on the degree of identification, so-called binding, with the storylines that are appearing.
Said. It appears we don't have...
That's right.
Okay.
I mean, yeah. Most of us don't even... I mean, unless you've done a little bit of cushion time.
At that time, think they do. Then
yes.
Looking for them.
Right.
Very diligent.
Well, yes. I mean, you know, the law of attraction or the secret,
right.
Or da-da-da-da-da, all exploit the fundamental, call it ignorance, mm-hmm. of feeling individuated. To try to make feeling individuated less painful. Because if I get what I want, my ships come in and I'm not going to feel so crappy anymore. You know, you'll feel as crappy, if not worse. It is associated with my desire, my imagination, my worldview. We think we're going to be satisfied by the manifestation of that which we believe we want, and we won't be. And so you can erase with confidence the secret, the law of attraction, Abraham Hicks, the whole fucking thing. Because those are simply going to continue to reinforce the myth of self, of individuation.
Yep.
It's horrible. It's hard. Yeah, but you see, you know, we can, let's say, boldly suggest it for just, you know, fun. But someone, if there's a someone that hasn't gotten a pretty decent dose of the absence of self, a pretty decent dose of effortless quiescence, won't see that that's even a remote possibility. They won't see it. They'll deny it, refuse it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hard to talk to.
Yeah. Yep. Isn't it? I mean, it's an interesting bandwidth. Humans that have absolutely no interest in this kind of a conversation. Some that might think they have an interest, but would run fairly quickly if it became too intimate. People that are hostile, you know, to it, which is a little different than being completely disinterested. I mean, there's just a whole gamut. So-called non-spiritual or non-religious persons and so-called Buddhist, Hindu, Sufi, right, practitioners that you'd think they might have a natural inclination toward this. No way. No way. Like most of the people at the Bucks County Buddhist Sangha, or the Buddhist Sangha of Bucks County, however they say it, where everyone is like, you know, in there getting enrolled in conjecture and distraction, stories and remedies and funny little koans that don't need shit, and and that's it. So it's like basically participating in looping hallucination, and that's called, you know, the Sangha. You're like, wow. And it's enabled by the, you know, visiting teachers.
Well, that, I mean, that goes along with the looking for relevance.
Yes, all
so
of that.
It can be subtle. You know.
Yeah. All of that is a symptom of the appetite, the, you know, compulsion for relevance and context. Yeah.
And there's something about, I don't know, but there's something about, let's say, emptiness that at a different, if you're not in that place, you want to fill it up. Like,
yeah.
If you sort of feel it,
yeah.
If you can feel,
yeah.
The meaninglessness of all this bullshit, it's like let me look for something.
Yeah.
You know.
Fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I could see myself doing it, and I don't know why I was doing it, but I knew I was doing it. Like I could see myself. And I'm like, what am I doing this?
Yeah.
It's just nothing.
Right.
I'm like, well, then what?
Yep. Yep. Well, so that's, I'm, you know, it's like a retinal tear. You know, it happens gradually. You know, if it happens all at once, it's a shocking, right?
Oh, yeah. Right.
Shocking event.
I guess so, yeah.
If it happens a little bit gradually, then you're like, oh,
yeah.
You know, that's, I mean, shit, this sneaks up on you.
Which is good.
Yeah. Even though, you know, so-called cathartic liberation events are, you know, voyeuristically attractive. Right? Cathartic liberation events are voyeuristically attractive. But what if you just slowly, with no measure, no appointments, no timeline, you just start to wake up. And you find moments or periods of quiescence which were not sought.
Right.
And then there's the getting used to those. You're actually being invited to can we say, participate in a transhuman, transtemporal vocabulary of experiencing? That is not assigning blame, story, not strategizing at all. The compulsion is relaxed.
I think there's a feeling of irrelevance. I mean, like, whatever is going to be said is not going to have any meaning. So it's not going to add anything.
Yeah.
So it's like,
I'm not putting you off of your poetry, is it?
I think there is that tendency. Yeah. I think there is. I don't feel like there is any word at all. I would love to come up with one, but I don't think there is. Nothing. And you can't even use a contrast, it seems like.
Immersion, which is not quite accurate, of course, is, let's just say, exactly this, with no, call it, lingering impulse for entertainment, justification, repair,
understanding,
yeah. Mm-hmm. See? So, yeah, the pursuit or interest in objects, even the pursuit and interest in experiencing itself, this is revealing itself to itself, discovering quiescence, nourishment, ease of being, and figures out how to rest in that.
I feel like the actual, the expression is everything that is occurring. That's the expression.
Yes.
So there's no need to make any expression.
That's right. Yeah.
Because you can't beat it.
Yeah. Duality, if there were such a thing, is the mirage of imagining that this has separated itself from itself and now has a story to tell. It's really as simple as that. Mm-hmm. Whatever presence might be, or present might be, if the reflex to derive from, add to, influence, avoid, opine, explain, if all of that goes to natural quiescence, then the mind that's made of demand just relaxes out. becoming accustomed to what it appears like and what it feels like for the mind to, you could say, exhaust itself or to be released from demand. For a while, we thought that if I only had this, 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 and this, and if only I could get rid of this, 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 and this, then some idea of happiness would naturally be the outcome. New, new, new. Because even the identification of a this, 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 and this that's craved, or a this, 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 and this that has to be released or relieved of, that is samsara.
Case of mistaken identity.
Absolutely. Well, not even mistaken. Any. It's worse. If only it were just a matter of mistaken identity, right? Then I could go in search of non-mistaken identity. But yeah. This has no identity. And isn't that always the case? There's no gap in this. Having no identity. There's no gap in it. But it has the capacity, who knows why it exercises it, but it has the capacity to make it appear as if you've found something. And then have the magical ability to name it. Put it in your psychic pocket and, you know, take it to a friend. It's kind of like, you know, what the cat brings in.
It's playing pretend.
You're like the cat, having found some kind of poor, helpless creature that you've batted around to the point of exhaustion and brought it home to mommy. And so you think your thinking is, you know, oh, this is thinking. Oh, I got to pay attention to this. This is some real shit right here. It's not. That's the, you know, addiction, right? The addiction to the reliance upon and the pursuit of and the acquisition of objects, contrast, discernment, the psycho-emotional consequences of all that, right? Reinforcing the sense of one's individuation or the sense of a body-mind that avoids discomfort and pursues stimulus, pleasant stimulus. That's a mind in demand. That's a life that is being eaten away, as they are, by psychic demand, psychic association. Would we dare give that up? Our habit is to be nourished by what the cat drags in, which is our own right thinking, our own imagination. We're distracted. We think we're nourished by what we drag in to the, you know, so-called room or the space of being as just something else to be preoccupied with. What if not? What if not?
Then all your efforts are in vain. And that sometimes people don't really want to see that.
Sometimes they don't. All of the efforting, right, is usually associated with a fairly thick mortar.
Which seems difficult, because belief is sort of behind the scenes, you know?
Yes.
It's like you don't see the belief, you only see what you...
You see the, yeah, you see the symptoms of belief. That's right. The contemplative gait is exactly that, suggesting that the contemplative gait is designed to wean oneself from the symptoms of belief, geometry, the texture, the feeling tone, the genesis of belief, and see more clearly the imaginary artifacts that occur by virtue of belief. Now, if we become drunk with the artifacts, we will never pass through the gateway that is belief. Because we're in like one of those, you know, kids' houses full of rubber balls. The bouncy house full of rubber balls. And we're like, oh my God, I mean, it's like rubber ball heaven in here. You'll never get exhausted in there. It's full of color and texture and screaming and people and flying and getting buried and, you know, all day, all, you know, I mean, maybe you'll take a 10-minute break for a peanut butter or jelly sandwich and shoo, right back in there. That's a mind that is in demand. It's like a bouncy house full of balls. What if quiescence comes to call? Are you going to answer the door? Or are you going to look through your peephole and go, oh, no, fuck no, man. I'm not going to let that fucker in. You know, who's, you know, it's not Landshark this time. It's realization. Realization has come to call, not Landshark. You're going to look through your peephole and go, oh, no, no. Turn the lights off, you know, put some candy out on the porch if it's around Halloween and get the hell out of there. What are we going to do if quiescence comes to call? As the, not as a response to craving or cultivation, just, what the fuck? Instant on liberation, instant on quiescence comes to call. You don't even remember signing up. You got spammed by realization. You didn't even sign that e-list. Now what are you going to do?
It's nice to know enough that you don't, so that you don't reject it out of hand, or that you...
That's what decades of yoga are all about,
yeah.
Right? Decades and decades of... they have one result. What's the result? Don't reject it out of hand. When it comes to the knocking, can Jamie come out to play? You're like, absolutely.
Yeah, open the door.
Open the door. Yeah, without all that yogic endeavor,
right.
We would like, you know, we'll just...
Might be a monster out there.
It's a monster.
But right? It's a monster inside. What's the difference?
Well, it's the monster you know versus the monster you don't. You're crazy. That's why you're here.
Well, that's funny because, you know, there's certain things that...
that's a compliment.
Just really take me back to my experiences as like a fifth grader when this lady I mentioned for a long time was given out, like, accept Jesus, real, you know, Jesus-free stuff.
Tracks.
Yeah. But she had us over to her house, and I went home with this little glow-in-the-dark thing about when Jesus knocks on the door and you open, it's all, it's funny. It's the same.
It is the same.
Man, yeah. It's Jesus. Okay.
Yeah, it's Jesus. Sure. That's right. Hey, Ralphie, Jesus is going to be at the deli around the corner. Want to go? Nah.
He doesn't.
Oh. I don't remember that.
Yeah, who would remember something as frothy as that?
I just remember it was glow in the dark, man.
Don't you still have that?
I probably do. I never throw anything away. buried deep. I couldn't throw it away. It was like a little cross thing, and I was like, ah, don't throw stuff like that.
We learn, and that learning is not, of course, being clever with some kind of specialized vocabulary. It's not about being clever with pithy concepts. No, it just empties out. It doesn't have any, it no longer has any interest in representation. If this no longer has any interest in representation, well, here we are. Here this is.
It seems to me that this can use the mind.
Sure does.
Of course. Use it. So
yeah.
Use
and abuse.
About it anymore.
No, that's right.
It's
you
just
don't.
Happening automatically.
Hasn't it always been? I mean, really, hasn't it always been? It's always been happening, you could say, automatically, autonomously, impersonally. The claiming comes in after the fact. You know, sometimes a teacher from time to time can emphasize, you know, not caring. It's a slippery slope. Because remember, mind grabs anything, fetishizes it, objectifies it, right? Makes it a thing faster than you can spell thing, or even G for that matter. So if the suggestion is that you just don't care, well, instantly arises, you know, kind of a scenario, a scene of me not caring. No. Mm-hmm. So it's tempting, you know, to say, call it glibbish kinds of things for the shock value or the, you know, whatever value. But they're all a slippery slope. Because then I want to inhabit my idea of not caring. Not to care. It's you again.
That's the way I felt with the Jim Carrey thing.
Yes. Right. That was yeah. Glib.
In fact, the word I used in response, the second response was glib.
It was glib and it was stupid.
Glib and stupid.
I mean, you know, if he wants to carry on like that, carry on. Carrie wants to carry on like that. Amongst intimate friends where there's some kind of, you know, agreement to be a little wild with each other. Hey, that's cool. You know, you can play shuffleboard with this and have a good time. But, you know, to show up in celebrity clothing at a celebrity event and start spouting, you know, aggressive non-dualisms. Shut the fuck up. Yeah. But, you know, that's just attention seeking. It's dysfunctional, right? Toxic attention seeking. He's an actor first. He's not, you know, he's an actor before he's an enlightened master. So, you know, as an actor, have fun. Why not? But that event was not an event for amateur non-dualists to say something. It had a different agenda. If you're there, shut up and enjoy the agenda.
Now, would you say the same thing as if you were a guest at another sangha?
No, not in that case, not me.
I know where you're going with that.
No, I'm glad you brought it up.
Okay, just check.
No way. That's not how I behave. Maybe Jim Carrey might behave a little more politely at another sangha. Listen, if the topic's realization, it's all in. That's my feeling. Right. It's all in, man.
Right.
I don't care if it's Buddhist or Hindu or Zoroastrian or what the fuck it is. If the topic is, you know, realization, well.
You have a right to punk.
Oh, man. That's right.
A duty.
That's right. Not just a right.
Punk pride.
You have a duty. You have a duty to throw a few hand grenades in there and see, you know, if anyone comes out like wounded enough to say what.
I just think of it, and I don't know much about bodhisattvas.
Yeah,
but I would
who
think
does?
That would be sort of how a bodhisattva.
You would expect a genuine bodhisattva to do just that, but not that shithead.
Yeah.
He's a lovely guy. I mean, in every respect, I'm sure an absolutely lovely guy. There was no question about it. But fucking clue. And but you know what? To his credit, no one in the room had a fucking clue, and they don't want to have a fucking clue. And so he was doing them a favor, which was doling out, you know, superficial Buddhisms to a whole audience of so-called Buddhists that don't have the slightest interest in what we're talking about. Knock, knock. Who's there? Your realization. Gotta run. Realization who? Indeed.
That's the clincher right there. When there's a really strong sense of self behind the word, the expressions, that self is quite fragile in a sense to being shattered in some way.
Yeah.
Or exposed or disappointed or elated, you know.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Accepting maybe that equanimity. Like you said earlier about even apathy is a negative fixation of the self. Yeah.
This is this. That's realization. Then it wanders. That turns out to be realization too, but maybe feels a little different. It's always realization. Not that even that matters. Nonstop, 24/7. This is this. Oh my God. With all of the symptoms that it's capable of demonstrating, which includes the symptoms that one feels I'm made of. Yeah, and we have, look at us, we have loquacious skills, symbology skills, right? Identification, language, discernment, textural skills. We communicate harmonically, energetically, with gestures, with voice, with the tonalization of words. And so it's kind of a rush, and the rush of communion, the rush of communication. That's cool. That's fun. I mean, if it were gibberish, would it be as much fun? Or do I need to, from the point of view of associative meaning? I love music so much. It's, you know, purely vibratory, evocative, but if it's not sung, you know, in that case, then we're not adding, right, the implication of language to it. Really liberating the vibration of music and, of course, a thousand other things. People arouse liberation. Guess what? So does this. Just being as, you could say, absurdly or deliciously ordinary and without vector.
So it actually simplifies a lot of things.
Oh, can
you
it?
Could do something or not do something.
Sure.
You could be incredibly attached, or you can be incredibly apathetic or even neutral.
Yeah, even neutral.
And it will find you.
Yes, yes.
Awake will find you.
Awake will find you.
Without delay.
Yes, awake is without delay. It's always exactly this.
Even though the personhood might say, I can't possibly be here. This sucks.
Well, sure, that, right. I mean, you know, if there's emotional or physical or any other kind of discomfort, then, yeah, there's going to be, you know, biologic resistance to the threat, you know, discomfort, injury, emotional or otherwise. Yes, of course.
That would be like someone being attached to the idea of spontaneous healing, and instead they get second eye.
Yep.
And I go, oops.
Yep.
This intention sort of fell by the wayside, or
mm-hmm.
that was the gift.
In a sense, you could say we are always spontaneously healed until the moment we die. It works.
And that's being healed of the strong root of the separate self.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, your castle now has just...
And that's when you're really healed, when you die.
Just went etheric.
No. Uh-huh.
I can put my...
Yes, that's right.
Brick.
Yeah, you can put your hand right through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very different quality of invitation. That whatever this is or isn't, however it feels, whatever can be said about it, this is the totality. This is the living harmonic and expression of what's kind of fun is that we thought that, well, I had to be able to accumulate or orient to various artifacts or experiences or knowledge or wisdom or insight or no. Not necessary. This is the fruition of itself. You want to be friends with the world? Go ahead. Be friends with the world. You don't have to be. You don't have to use fancy Sanskrit or Pali words, multi-syllabic piles of joy. Here's this. Why even suggest a pantheon of gods?
Well, someone must have noticed a very busy, creative, imaginative, fantasy-oriented mind that likes forms to play with and to relate to.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah. Look at all the cosmologies that have, let's say, been invented enthusiastically and sincerely motivated. All these cosmologies, all of these, gods and stories and ethicalities and moralities and there's great, vast, right, Akashic record in the right human pantheon of ideation. That's how did we do that? And how long did it take? Not long. Not really long. To create a preponderance of fascinating cosmology, causality, and heroes and villains, gods, angels, demons. And then we become, of course, bound, right? We hallucinate. We're hallucinating under the influence of all of the implication of those cosmologies. And then we become, bound to the point of crusade-like violence. the somaticization of quiescence,
how do you describe quiescence? I have a sense of it, but I'm not sure the context.
Well,
this context.
Absence of acquisition.
Got it.
Well, while we're into definitions, somatization, is it how the body reacts?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, we're used to referring to it as the body. The body is the short word for, oh my God.
Sensorium.
Right? Right? The pageantry of sensorium, which is, even at present, what one's attention or awareness is capable of parsing as sensorium is really far out. We tend not to do that. I mean, oftentimes, you know, guided meditation is like relax the shoulders and the elbows, you know, be nice to your spleen, right? Fun things like that, so that attention is now sensing the so-called physicality or sensorium, and as best it can, you know, relaxing, right? Parasympathetic nervous system, gentle breath, easeful heart rhythm, cranial, you know, cranial oceanics. Oh. When you feel them. And the somaticization of quiescence, well, you know, it grows on you. We're not just talking about, you know, either a mental or the absence of some mental condition. You're not just a mental condition, right? The sensorium is, wow.
Bigger than that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So as the capacity of sensitivity, felt sense, is, let's say, released from a mind that makes demands, now unperturbed, without distraction, you can rest in this that feels. Wondrous tinkerbells of subtle delight and interest will materialize. It's not that they materialize by virtue of anything specific occurring, but as an organic consequence of a non-demanding mind, not futuring, not selfing, not explaining, not justifying, not strategizing, just, this doesn't suck. All of this arises. Now it's, you know, what would you say? Available for the noticing. Shamanic alchemy is not just philosophical, psychiatric, or emotional. It's full on.
And perhaps you can see that, let's call it the struggle between the identification that sort of is trying to get your attention. So I'll tell you what exactly I'm talking about.
All right.
Which is when you use the word crusade, my mind started saying, wait a minute. What is that? What was that? What does that mean? I don't understand. And that was like a subtle coming up, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Coming up and
mm-hmm.
sort of trying to hold on to something.
Yeah.
And then you're going down a road.
Yep.
That says, wait, what is this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A very strong belief that leads to a lot of death.
And that's one way, right?
Amongst a gazillion more
sure.
angles.
Sure.
A lot of people don't like that word, crusade.
I have dear friends, and that's their last name.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, should have clever first cool. names.
Tina. Do you remember Tina?
Oh, I didn't know that was her last name.
Crusade.
And wasn't Tom Cruise's birth name Crusade, and he changed it for theatrical persons purposes?
Okay. Yeah, really? You've got to be
kidding. I'm kidding. Thomas James Crusade changed it to, let's shorten that back to Cruz.
Oh,
I'm a little slow.
Yeah,
I know, me too.
That's quick.
Sorry. And you're the pun master. I pulled one over.
I think someone pulled the plug on me.
Oh, wow.
Annie just doesn't, she doesn't reinforce it.
Hmm. There you go. What we'll do for a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Tell him the truth.
It's sobering me up a little.
Yeah.
Emotionally. Your drug of choice could be emotion of choice, too.
Mm-hmm.
Habit of choice. Story of choice.
It's coming for you.
Identity of choice. All kinds of. Yeah, until the rude awakening of. So where's this chooser? Who's in charge here? You know.
Mind is an app.
Mm-hmm.
We're aiming for resting in the machine language. Resting as the operating system, or subtler than that, the machine language. Subtler than that, you know.
The ones and zeros.
Yeah, the ones and zeros, right? A gate, the gateless gate. Whether it's a one or a zero, it's open or closed.
In breath, out breath.
Yeah, yeah. 1500. Exactly that. That was the yoga. That was Prahlad's yoga. 1500. That was it.
Yeah.
In breath, out breath, going to the most subtle gate. Zero. Yeah, that's this. You know, if it's our curious karma to pursue it, right? Or recognize that it's you're being pursued by it. Resting, and even resting is needn't be the emphasis, right? Feeling, noticing. This on its terms without being avoidant. Will change one. Human, right, typical human mentality is avoidant and acquisitive and appears to place demands. Avoidant, demand, acquisitive, it's all the same. It's a right, it's a distraction from distraction.
It seems like it's a it's a focus. You're seeking a focus, and almost anything will do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, I mean, they say that, you know, you're never satisfied. So the focus has to continue.
Well, yeah, the, you know, the madness is self-fulfilling. The mind that demands is self-fulfilling. So it remains, you know, unsatisfactorily drunk with its own demand, no matter how many of those demands have been met. It's not really interested in the satisfaction of the demand. It's just more interested in maintaining the heresy of demand. We'd like to think, oh, no, that's not true. If I got what I wanted, it would be different. No, it won't, because you don't really want what you think you want.
Yeah, you got what you wanted, it could be worse, because then you expect it again and again.
Because you're a product of demand.
And then you're like, then after many successes, and it starts to fail, which is the gift, you're out of sorts, or I, or other, attached to a self that's...
Yes. That's the, right, the structure of being of demand, the nature of demand. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no, and we think, we'd like to think or do think that if I could only get what I want or avoid what I don't, that the neurosis, the psychosis of demand would somehow be sated. But you're not really interested in being sated. What you're interested in is being a product of demand.
We want to keep on wanting.
We want to keep on wanting.
And it's sometimes desperately so.
Desperately so. I mean, telling the truth about it, if there were one, I mean, it's all up to you, you know. We don't want to pretend to know anything about anything. But having, let's say, an authentic moment where it's like, whoa, I was fooling myself.
Yeah.
I thought I actually wanted the things I wanted. You're like, no, I'm just a product of demand.
I want some kind of a feeling associated with something that used to be a feeling when I got it or whatever, you know.
Okay.
It didn't work out that way, you know.
So, yeah, that's... Yeah, there's no criticism of it.
I can see it now. You go to a big guru and you go, hey man, I'm not feeling it. Just not feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that would be attached to qualification through sense, which is different than a felt sense that you speak of sometimes.
Preference and delight, or the absence of delight, can show up at any realm of subtlety. Why shouldn't it? I am not the body. You'll still find, you know. Right?
As long as you start pestering me then.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That's right. Our habit then is to be, right, object dependent, demand, in demand. What we want is more wanting, not what we want. We don't want what we want. We just want wanting.
It's funny. Someone actually answered that one time when they had fun at, this was years ago, meditation. I said, what if you had anything you ever wanted or wished for?
Yeah.
Then what?
Yeah.
And they said, longing. I would want my longing.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I was fascinated by it. That's why I remember. Yeah. And that's what you're basically
true.
Saying. The want for wanting, even if you have everything, the wanting would still want to play with something, some idea of wanting.
Yeah.
Still.
Well, that's the schizophrenic mind to me, because that I recognize that completely, but I don't really want anything. You know, when I try to identify something that I want, you know, I can't really locate it. You know? So yeah. I got this like, endless. Well, I want to, you know, I want this.
Well, realization.
Of like, oh, you know, like, and but the, I can't find the objects of the want.
Realization came knocking, and now it's got its foot in the door.
Yeah, but it's like the other part of the brain is like, come on.
Yes, right?
Get on that horse.
Yeah. Don't leave me like this. Want stuff. Jerk.
I can't find anything.
You can notice as notions or ideas or anecdotal stories or references of one's identity appear, as entertainingly as they appear, they're somewhat insistent, right? I mean, that's how we characterize ourselves. That's how we communicate. Little bubbles of, you know, meaning and association come up, and they're pleasant or unpleasant or entertaining or not, or funny or not, or, you know, some people are like compulsive, right, toxic attention seekers, toxic entanglers. And that's another form, right, of, hey, this is how I roll, hey, look at me.
We've had a few visitors here like that.
It happens. It happens. Yeah.
Disseminators.
Yes.
Jeez. Disseminators.
Oh, yeah.
Those disseminators. They have a big church over on.
And they eat the semolina.
They eat the semolina. The seeing through. The arising or the habit of association could possibly, you know, lead to a certain kind of stillness, a certain kind of immersion or absorption, not as a contemplative goal, you know, not to play all monkey see, monkey do around it. Most, right, you know, Vipassana halls are basically a monkey see, monkey do kind of thing. No, it's just right about here. In the 12-step parlance, that could look like turning one's will, right, over to higher power. One's will and life, not just will. Turning one's will and one's life over to higher power. Or, in this case, higher power is quiescence itself. It's not anthropomorphized as a loving God or anything like that. No, it's just relinquishing one's will and the imagination of one's life. To what? Well, this doesn't suck. Not to a thing, not to something other, not to other. Relinquishing one's so-called life or will to exactly this. The cessation of demand. And there's no vow. There's no, you know, decision. No, the revelation, it's organic, right? You don't say, oh, that sounds good. Well, count me in. How do I rustle up some of that stew? No, it's not that way. Oh.
It just occurred to me that the appearance of a master where a lot of things happen is oftentimes appealing to a belief that's within,
mm-hmm.
and having this collective belief party.
Oh yeah, baby.
And then, of course, followed by some disillusionment at some point, which you can't have one without the other, I think.
No.
When you get high like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're like, it's that crowd thing. You know?
Yes. Singing Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
You know, till you start sweating.
But then it's mistakenly projected outward somewhere.
Absolutely.
Formed, particularly a form with a name.
Yep.
And it walks a certain way, talks a certain way.
Huh?
Or, I want to be that. As some devotees close by. I can't wait till the master moves on so they can move in.
Okay, move on so I can move in, yeah.
All kinds of dynamics you can observe.
Absolutely, yeah.
But yeah, it's this, what comes first, the chicken or the egg, right? I'm in control of this life. Yeah, really? You know? Look, see, it works. Really? So I'm reminded of that as I'm listening to you. Dipping into that place of manifesting, you might say.
Mm-hmm.
And then... failure of it.
The failure of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. From one perspective... you know, speaking about the failure of, let's say, oneself, right? To create or inhabit or envision, demand the life that one thinks one wants to live. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you can say, well, there's no agency. Or this has no implication. And for fun, you could say, well, as quiescence deepens and I'm a little more used to it, not so much quarrel, not so much trying to, you know, frame it from the artifacts of former mind, former concept. Like, no, this is real, and I ain't got nothing, right? You're not enrolling the truth of being into, right, some kind of other thing. Then you could say for fun, it's pure implication. Nothing but agency. It's pure agency. It's pure implication. But not of a, right?
That's not of a person.
That's right. No longer of a person or an entity. Yeah. So, you know, why not? You know, the person who's trying to win and fails, fortunately fails, you could point out, look, you have no agency. Everything is arising, right, impersonally, spontaneously. According to, let's say, a value system that we don't even perceive. Well, then on the other side of that, it's like, yeah, agency is cool. Implication is, of course, saturated.
Well, the words don't seem to be so polarized after that.
That's right.
They don't have to be for this.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
You have to have a more liberal...
Right. Yes. Yeah. Use the, say, language at hand in whatever poetic manner you want to, because it's the intelligence that's doing the speaking, right? Not the creature. It's not withholding anything from itself. What about this, and what about that, and what about me, and what about you? You know, those are swell. Of course. And they are, you know, poetic movements of conjecture. The myth that you can preempt the future because you meditate. You practice mindfulness. So you're for sure going to suffer less, I mean, without a doubt. And you might even vehicle for assisting others to suffer less. Because you can
take some vows.
Yeah, you can preempt the future. What, Master, what should I do when this happens? I don't know. What? Who? When? Where? What happened? What? There is no such thing, except in one's imagination. Where's the future, except in your imagination? Same with the past. Where's the past, except in your imagination? Though the past could possibly have a stronger somatic imprint or stamp than the future. But you can suffer from either.
I seem to prefer the future, thank you very much.
All right, then. Stay with there. Stay there. Stay with the future.
Currently.
A dreamer.
Is that what it is?
You're not the only one.
I'm telling Annie.
He's back. I was worried there for a minute. He's back.
Somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Someday you'll join me.
See, the problem is that Annie, she's not showing up here. She's laying some undue influence on you because she's got you as a captive, you know, audience.
Yes. Yeah, so
if she spent a little more time, we'd whittle some of her shit down too.
Oh, it's coming soon. The theater in the year.
Well, what we can get away with on onesies and twosies is hard to get away with when there's a few more people around.
Yeah, really, that one. Or two times, she really took it in.
Huh.
Doesn't know what to do with it. But.
Come back. Yeah, knock, knock. Who's there? Your realization. No thanks.
Definitely swept her into a stream.
Well, it's a testimony to her own nature. Hardly anything we're capable of.
Yeah. I just find it amusing to the idea of not being in pursuit of anything. And yet seeing that pursuit happens.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's a recurring story of, why didn't I have more motivation to achieve more of this or that or the other thing? And I like throwing that story out.
Mm-hmm.
Flesh it right down. Sometimes it doesn't matter at all. And other times it's like, oh, crap, what do I have to account for? Who will listen and respect what I have to say? I got no letters after my name. Then it doesn't matter what they're doing. It's relieving not to have that. Like Wayne Dyer. I like some of what I read about his ahas and the books and the desire to reach as many people.
Yeah.
Teach self-actualizing.
Well, thanks to Wayne Dyer's wealth, Ram Dass has a place to stay.
Oh, really? Is that cool?
I was thinking that there's positive attention to the self and negative attention to the self. So if you could adore yourself and want to fix yourself up and pamper yourself and treat yourself well, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work. Hating yourself is just as mind clusterfucking as loving.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So,
you'll do anything to avoid your own appointment with vacuity.
Yeah, something came out of my mouth years ago to a paranoid schizophrenic student. Dave, they're talking about me again. They're coming after me, Dave. I said, Chris, you're not that important. And he goes, oh. And the principal goes, how could you be so insensitive?
Oh, man.
I didn't engage her that much.
Chris was no longer a schizophrenic after that moment.
It was so funny.
It's not all about you.
It just shorted out that, this response is how, oh, no, you're a great guy, really. Don't feel so bad. It's like, you know what? They've got their own issues. You're really not that important. The world does not revolve around you. So that was my own medicine, too.
Right, sure.
That one works both ways, yeah.
And the principal was the part of me, too, beating myself up. Like, why aren't you driving and making something of yourself? Yeah. You could have been a somebody.
Could have been a contender.
Oh, gosh. Just give me a tree and some relief. But yeah, I can, this eye can reflect on the most suffering points. And every time there's a very strong sense of self connected to that suffering. Very strong. Yeah, so, that, it's an interesting thing. But then there's something that occurs in the purest sense of diving down into this inquiry. I could still be in that. I could be completely liberated at the same time. And that kind of blows me away in a sense. it's not like I have to be free of that tendency to be awake or not. You know, self-referential. That's all I'm saying is quite strongly self-referential.
It's, yes,
but I
see.
Could be hyper self-referential. I could be completely bliss-filled.
Yes.
You know, where did the self go? And awaken, awake is here, there, and everywhere in between, in a sense. At least.
So maybe you're self-referential, but not self-identified or something like that?
No, you know what it is? I could be the biggest ass.
Terrifying.
And full of. Oh, really? Don't say it. I mean, you.
You're not that important.
I could be just totally self-consumed. I mean, it happens on a periodical basis.
It's like the periodic table. Today, I feel like lead.
And within that, no one else may know, but there's this smile. And the smile that it doesn't matter that I'm hyper caught up. It might matter to the room, like, oh God, when is he going to quit?
Or, no one around here says that.
You know, throw him a macaroon. You know,
occupy, is that what it takes?
Occupy his mouth. and it's a lot lighter than it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
A half hour ago. You're much lighter than you were a half hour ago.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So this presence can, for no cost, fill itself with reference. Mm-hmm. And that's how we entertain the conjectures of things present or not present. And, not to be contrary to that, this presence needn't indulge in reference. It's tough to be reference-free in your past. That's been called for. What's the word? Been what for? Yeah.
Yes. You might say I'm passing gas.
Yeah. And good luck, of course, being reference-free in your future. That's a mystery we'll just have to kind of wait and see. But in the present, if there were one, here, yes, one can discover. Yes, the texture of being without reference. The reference-less present. But there is no reference-less present. Because there's not. There's no condition, right? There's no state. To be in or out of.
Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember what you said.
Me neither.
The referenceless presence.
Yeah.
Could be a concept, and there is no concept.
That's right. It's all, yeah. See?
Yeah, you just do the best you can.
That's the last way station.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could, you know, right?
Yes.
It's like...
Well, this is fun to look at. Rarely do we as human beings or friends attenuate our shared attention to this degree of existential intimacy. We are busy with 1,000 distractions. What happens if we harness, let's say, this capacity for being, sensitivity, discussion, observation, and bring it palpably present and see how it functions here. Not very common. And you could say to do it, right? Krishnamurti would encourage, exhort his audience, you know, with his hands shaking, please, sir, do it, you know.
Just do it.
Just do, you know, it was like, oh, then he would sometimes hold his head like, oh, are you here? Do it, sir. You know, he didn't know if he was getting across, you know, he had such a, you could say, a pleasure and a frustration and in being present and doing his best to articulate that in the way that he could, and the urgency that he would invite from his audience to see it, please see it, right? You're like, I'm doing my best, Krishnamurti. I really am trying to keep up with you. Really, I am. Such was the nature of his affection, right? He wasn't just doling out, you know, ideas. He was enraptured. And
he couldn't talk that long if he was just doling out ideas.
No. No. Yeah, he was enraptured, and so he was evoking and inviting. Yeah. Right. You're like, oh, and well, I really want to get what you're saying. I really do.
You feel like, I brought this up before, that he talks so long and that it seems subtle. So it seems like he's sort of bringing you with him.
Leading you through.
Right. Because he really takes his time.
Oh, yeah.
And he wants to bring you with him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's right. That's what shared attention can do. Yeah. Yeah, you create, let's say, a wave of a certain kind of waveform or harmonic of attention, of interest, and you know, you set some very light-hearted ground rules, you know, around it, not too heavy, and then you can feel a certain, you know, buoyancy, palpable buoyancy. And that buoyancy is of a quality of permission. It's a quality of invitation. It's not an imposition upon. It's a, right? Marco Polo, you know. Come on in. The water's fine. Yeah. This way you don't have to be right or wrong in agreement or disagreement. You're free. You're free to feel this and sense its reference-less nature. And who knows, maybe it feels nice even. To be relieved for an episode. Relieved of self-absorption, self-consideration, self-reference. Early on, being relieved of self-reference is its own kind of delight because of the weight and the momentum of self-reference, and the suffering or preoccupation of it is very fatiguing. So even if you get a brief respite from it, you know, so that's one aspect of it, is relief from the pressure. But that fairly quickly turns into a whole, let's say, novel realm of fascination and nourishment, which is its own delight, not because it's relief, but on its own merit, its own terms. So then see, the vector shifts, right? From it would be really nice to get a break from myself to this is really cool. Oh. if one's recovery and the years dedicated to it are merely to be relieved from, right, the compulsion to repeat addictive behavior, that's not enough. I mean, it's keep coming back. It works if you work it. You know, if the program, whatever program, has assisted someone not to be under the monkey's influence of, you know, damaging addictive behavior. I mean, we're all addicts. I'm talking about damaging, you know, damaging addictive behavior socially and, right, esteem damaging addictive behavior. Yeah. It's not, that's wonderful. Of course, it's wonderful. It's a healing event. But we want to be nourished by, let's say, one's relationship with higher power. The 11th step is a, right, is an encouragement to bask in nourishing freedom, not simply to figure out how not to do a thing. Bask in freedom. That's also a responsibility, right? Yeah, to bask in it. Then, with some amount of, let's say, legs basking in one's own freedom, then you can perhaps conduct your 12-step altruism, 12th step, which is to spread the message, right? Be a beacon of light and sobriety for others that are still suffering.
Yeah, I don't think you could do too well unless you embrace the 11th step. I mean, there's a lot of people that are probably out there doing that.
Uh-huh, absolutely. That's right. Yeah. Well, the 12-step meetings I've been to, and I've been to my fair share, and for good reason, I'll tell you. I should probably still be going. There wasn't rarely much emphasis placed on the responsibility, the privilege, the obligation to bathe in.
That's a smaller group, maybe.
Much smaller group. I never went to an 11th step meeting.
You know? Do they have meetings of steps?
Yes.
Oh.
Well, Paul Hederman himself, you know, was a successful, sought-after, fourth step.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You know, workshopper.
Looking back.
Inventory.
Yeah, inventory.
Yeah. And that one is perhaps one of the most supported elements, because the whole inventory process,
the whole structure,
it needs coaching and community and work and more work and so it there, you know, there's a fourth step workbook, right? Yeah, so it's a, you know, it's Byron Katie, man. Or she's, you know, she came after, right? Yeah. And this, in a sense, realization is kind of like a fourth step workshop, except that you just don't need to make any inventory any longer. It's just, you could say, straight to forgiveness. And that forgiveness is, right, liberating.
It's like forgiving a misperception.
Yes. So that's where you could say forgiveness of a more personified nature meets the more dweebish elements of non-duality. Right? Yeah. Yeah, the forgiveness is no longer humanocentric. It's broader and broader in scope. It's more cosmic, perhaps, in scope. Does that assist you, your seat mold?
Yeah, I got this when I had really bad back pain a number of years ago. I forgot I had it, but, you know, bringing the cushions kind of reminded me. I think I should try that out again. It's okay.
Sven asks, what about hyperspace, i.e. Turiya?
I don't know what that is.
Nobody does.
Turiya?
Yeah, what about it? You see, the moment, I mean, Turiya is really fun, you know, as a concept and as a tool or so, even so-called practice. Well, because its implication, of course, is, self-transcendent. That's its implication. Once you try to frame, right, Turiya as an implication or as an occupiable, right, condition, however subtle, well, it's not Turiya anymore.
And hyperspace would mean unlimited space, wouldn't it?
This, the Turiya and hyperspace is this. To imagine that one could find hyperspace other than here, that's, right, that's a journey. That one would wish to, and why not, cultivate or occupy Turiya other than here becomes another, right, space adventure. It's another Flash Gordon adventure. So this is Turiya. It is. It's always transcendent of itself. Always, right? You could say other than and exactly itself. You don't need a more exotic paradox than that. And that's not to at all dismiss, marvelous states. Or marvelous non-states. The mind that is free from demand, well, in a sense, it has license to kill. You know, it's like 007. Let's say you are free to travel, evoke, inhabit, occupy, act, not act, in any possible realms that you can conjure or wish to. Is that Turiya then? I don't know. Listen, we're capable of exotic ideas. And as many as you can find, you can still go more exotic, right? There's no practical limit to how exotic ideas, symbols, notions of Turiya, beyond, before, to the left of, or to the right of Turiya could possibly be. So I... All right.
All different words with the same thing, isn't it? I mean, you know.
This is only one thing, not a thing. It's both the potential and the kinetic, the manifest, the unmanifest, the ordinary, the muggle, and the Turiya. It's itself. We tend to, right, dabble in a small world of presumption and belief. And look what we've done with that. The nation state, the nuclear threat, the racism, the neglect of environment. That's, you know, where we've taken it. It's not like realization, if there were such a thing, is a practical solution for global warming. Might be too late. But between now and the next devastating hurricane or flash drought or collapse of the food chain, cities, you know, might be useful to do a little waking up. All right, then. It's 9:19. We're not going to make any more progress this evening, I can tell you that. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Finn. Always a pleasure.